Prima, Pashas Kairach.
Part of our Chabotas HaTorah in Leeds, twice a week I send out an email to a database of people we have in Leeds with three simple questions and answers on Yiddishkeit, Poshut Yiddis, simple things. More often than not, the questions are my questions. L'kayma shenemar v'she'en yedei lishol at pesachloi. But on occasion, questions come in. Recently, a question came in. Hi, Rabbi. I hope you had a good Shabbat. I have a question that could in turn spawn 1,000 other questions because of the halachic, ethical, and dietary implications. But for the purpose of your email response, I will provide a general question which you can answer with the level of detail you feel is appropriate for this forum. What are the kashrut implications of lab-grown meat? Lab-grown meat. Now, when I received this email, I knew as much about lab-grown, lab, L-A-B. Yes.
It needs to pronounce it different.
So, when I received this question, I was out in the cold as much as you are. I had never heard of lab-grown meat, or even laboratory-grown meat. Never heard of it. So, mitalmidei eretz mikulam, I had to find out what it is. So this was my response. This question is a hot potato, or should I say, a hot burger. This is a $325,000 question. That was the cost of the burger grown in a lab. The actual ruling on the implications would be by rabbis who are experts in this field of halacha. The details of this are really fascinating, such as the historic cases from biblical and Talmudic times, which may shed light on this, down through the contemporary debate on the kosher status of gelatin. This also includes many complex halachic issues. I'm happy to arrange a shir on this. All readers who are interested, please reply to this email and we can arrange it. So, we had a share in Leeds on it. It was quite a simple standard. Afterwards, we had a second share, a bit on a higher standard. But I wasn't able to share with the Olam over there more of a full-blown picture. So, I thank you for giving me the opportunity. When approaching a shaila, there are two planes which require clarity. Number one, the metzius, the actual facts on the ground. Number two, a clear yediyah in halacha. As for the metzius, in 2013, a professor in the Netherlands created the world's first laboratory-grown hamburger. This was welcomed by environmentalists and animal rights activists. The cost for producing this one burger was an exorbitant price of $320,000. And it was not very tasty. Hardly an alternative to real meat. But by now, the price has come down to just $11.36. And I imagine that the taste will be improved as well. It is not unreasonable at all to say that it will not be very long before it will become a real alternative to real meat. We can just imagine how it will be pushed from all sides. The vegetarians, the vegans, the animal rights, the green people, the waste, economic, all sorts of people pushing it. So it seems this can be a real issue in 5-10 years' time, and we need to know where we stand on it. So what is the metzius? It seems that stem cells, which are the body's master cells, or templates, were extracted from a cow's muscle tissue. They were cultured and multiplied with nutrients.
Is the cow alive or dead?
We'll get there. They took it from alive cows, but we'll discuss that. They were cultured and multiplied with nutrients and growth-promoting chemicals, and later merged together, forming tiny strips of muscle fiber. Approximately 20,000 of these strips were needed to create just one burger. However, we do not know how this was done, meaning that this morning we cannot really decide the final kosher status of this meat. Because as we mentioned, one would need to know the actual facts on the ground, and they're keeping a lot of it under wraps. As for expertise in halacha, Yes, we'll discuss that as well. As for expertise in halacha, I will have to own up that I do not really qualify for that. It will need to be decided by Gedolei HaPoskim of the time based on the actual facts of its production. Our discussion now is merely food for thought, an opening to the possible and probable halachic issues which will need to be dealt with to give us a general picture of what we are in for. The first question we need to ask is, do we have any precedents for the shaila? It seems that we might. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tesamud Beis, and Samach Bavam Beis, talks about that there were Amoraim who every Friday would create animals with the Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah goes back to Avraham Avinu, and with the Sefer Yetzirah, they would make animals every Friday. The Malbim wants to say that the animals which Avraham Avinu gave to the Malachim, he had created them with the Sefer Yetzirah, and with that he gets around the problem how he gave them Basar B'Chalav. So, I've seen there are those who want to say, that we can see from here, that lab-grown meat would be considered to be parav. However, there are points which need to be taken into consideration, which can affect it from both ends. On the one hand, the animals created through Sefer Yetzirah were not the animals ben achaben from the animals which were created by Maase Bereishis. So they're not descended from animals. So it's understandable that they could be parav, like the Malbim suggests. Lab-grown meat, it's a product of real meat. Mitzad sheni, lab-grown meat, it never was part of a real live animal. The animals created through Sefer Yetzirah, maybe they do have a din of real animals, because they were created in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the original animals. The Amoraim simply, or not so simply, duplicated what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did when he made animals. So it seems quite difficult to come out with something conclusive from that Gemara. We'll now try to approach it from Musogim, which we have in Halacha, and try to be Madama Milsa La Milsa. The shailas we face are three. Number one is a kosher treif, and this is negeya when we take cells either from a treifa animal, behema tameya, or if we take from a behema tahira, live, or dead, shalai al de shchita. Animals which we cannot eat, if you take the cells from there, that's a shaila whether it will be treif or not treif. Then we have another shaila, is it flesh or parav? If you take the cells from a behema shchuta, behema shenishchita, shchuta kshera, what will happen over there? Will it be fleshik or will it be parav? We could talk about bittel. Mamet. Number three, even if we would come out that it should be mutter, we have to deal with a shail of maras ayin. Okay, so the first port of call is to be done on the stem cells themselves. You took the stem cells from the animal. What is the halacha of these stem cells themselves? So let's talk about a behema tameya or a behema tahira, which is alive, or dead shalaya deshchita, an animal which you cannot eat. You took the stem cells from them. So a chazer is treif. Even the smallest part of a chazer is aser, because of a chetzi shir. So at first glance, these stem cells, however small they are, they should be aser. But it's not so simple. We're familiar with the halacha of Teiloim, But Toloim, we have in the fruits and vegetables, we have to check with Toloim. We're all familiar with the halacha that if it's not nira la'ayin, then we don't have to be concerned with it. So we could say over here, perhaps, these things, that these cells they take from the animal, they're microscopic. They're not nira la'ayin. So perhaps they're mutter. Mitzad sheni, it could be it's different. When you have the toloim, they never were osa. They never reached the size to become osa. But this was part of a piece of meat. The piece of meat was osa. You take a tiny piece of this piece of meat, it should remain osa. But mitzad sheni, it's microscopic now. What would happen if you would take a piece of meat and you would manage to vaporize it and float it around the air now? Would we not be allowed to breathe in this room? So, I'm not clear about that, Shaila. If you take something microscopic, it's not near la'ayin, what is the halacha of it? I don't know. Let's go to the next step. Let's assume that even though they're microscopic in size, they're still awesome. There could still be a reason it could be machshelah. In order to understand why, we'll introduce gelatin. Gelatin is a translucent, colorless, and flavorless solid substance derived from collagen. Collagen is what helps give skin strength and elasticity. It's obtained mainly from the bones and skin of cows and or pigs. It is the gelling agent that makes marshmallows and gummy bears gummy. The process of producing gelatin is as follows. Now, after I tell you this, you may stop eating certain sweets. The collagen in the bones and skin is converted into osein. Osein is what remains of the collagen after the mineral matter has been removed by soaking it in hydrochloric acid. Then it is soaked in lime for about a month, followed by a wash in sulfuric acid. The kosher status of gelatin is as follows. Rav Chaim Oizer, he paskened that if it's made from hard, dry bones, and it goes through this process, and there is shishim kenegdoi, so then even from a treifa animal, the gelatin is kosher. However, subsequently, roiv rubam shalapayiskim were chaylik on this. Rav Aaron Kotler, in Mishnah Saron, he explains the two tzedim. He says, you have a behemoth tameya, you're not allowed to eat behemoth tameya. What happens to the bones of a behemoth tameya? Are they included in the Isra Achila or not? So the Matirim say that only something which is oichel is included in the Isra. Bones is not oichel, so it was never included in the Isra. So now we could do something with the bones to make them edible, but it was never included in the Isra. The Oisrim say that the whole animal is also ba'achila. But certain parts of the animal is not derech achila to eat them. So as soon as you change it to derech achila, the issa comes back. There is another day which is even more meikel than this, even more meikel of Chaim Oizer. It says even if it's made from a part of the animal which is royal achila, but since it goes through this process of soaking in all these things, it became not royal achila, so the issa was paka, the issa stays off, will not come back. Nowadays, no high standard hechsher will consider real gelatin to be kosher unless it's produced from properly shechted kosher animals. However, the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael, they sit on the fence. They have a distinct designation for it, and they will write kosher la'oichle gelatin. Kosher for those who eat gelatin, so they leave you to decide whether you are happy eating it or not. You could decide, are you happy to be Mechsayim with Rabbi Chaim Oizer? God l'ador. Vakasha. If you want to be Machmer like the Oizrim, be Machmer. Your decision. Oh, we'll get to that soon. Because so far we talk about treifa animals. Treifa animals, not negeya. We'll get there. So let's come back to our lab-grown meat. As we said before, after harvesting the stem cells from the animal, they are cultured. So, if the cells are taken from a part of the body which is not roi la'achila, then according to Rav Chaim Oizer, they will be mutter. In addition, I don't know what the culturing process entails. If they reach the point where they're not roi la'achila, then according to the other person which you mentioned, they would also be mutter. And as a result, lab-grown treifa meat will also be mutter. And the Rabbanut might write, kosher la'oichle cultural stem cells. All what we discussed up till now applies to stem cells harvested from a treifa animal. So, in conclusion, stem cells of a treifa animal, there's a possibility that certain achsherim would allow it, providing it meets the same criteria as gelatin. However, the Mahajan achsherim would most likely not allow it. Basa b'chalav. What happens with basa b'chalav? So for starters, those poskim who might allow treifa animals in part A would seemingly allow basa b'chalav as well, because it's not considered an oichel. If it's not considered an oichel, so it should be all right. But we can go even further. What happens to gelatin which is made from a kshei reshkuta? Is gelatin made from a kshei reshkuta flesh or parav? So Rav Moshe finds in he paskin that it's considered a parav. I think the OU follows that. Therefore, it would follow if the stem cells were harvested from the non-meat parts of the cow, so they can consider it to be parav, even from the skin. And the lab-grown meat from these cells could be eaten with cheese. So that is about the stem cells themselves. So we've now worked out two possibilities for the stem cells themselves to be kosher, even from a treifa animal, as well as to be considered parav from a kosher animal. The first heter was because it's not near a lion. The second heter is because it's not royal achila.
So the same thing would be with the cave for cheese. It's not royal achila, it's just the skin.
The cave is not royal achila?
It's only take the skin from the and then they dry it. And
it's the lining of the stomach. The lining of the stomach, it cannot be cooked and eaten? Why not?
Because it's like skin, like skin.
Skin. I'm not sure why. And look, Ramosha seems to say that from when skin there's no problem basa b'chalav. It has to be basa. But the lining of the cavers can be skin. Skin is on the outside of an animal. Inside an animal is skin. On the outside of the it's on the outside of the animal.
Of the caver.
Of the caver.
Of the stomach.
Inside. I thought it's the inside lining.
Outside lining.
It's the outside lining or the inside lining?
Outside lining of the...
We don't call it outside a lining. We call it outside skin. If you say lining, it's probably something inside.
If it's not lining, then it's the skin on the outside.
Right.
When it's blown up, it's that size.
Yes, but what makes the cheese, I imagine, is the inner lining, not the... That's what I assume. Ramosha says that there is no problem possible with halal by skin. So, and we know by a caver there is a problem. So it must be the inner lining, which is the issue. I hear. Okay, let's assume that the above two heterim are not acceptable. So now let's go on and talk about the meat. The stem cells themselves, let's assume they're problematic. What would happen with the meat itself? Someone suggested bittel. What would happen with the meat itself? Okay, so we have a few things we need to be done with. Number one, we have a halacha of a yoytze min atome, tome. I'll give two classic examples. One example is cholov of a behemah tamea, milk of a camel. Why can we not drink milk of a camel? It says in the Torah, "Psorim lo techelu." You're not eating the meat of the camel. Why are you not allowed to drink the milk of a camel? Because yoytze min hatome. Another example is tahira sheyolda. You have a camel which gave birth to a cow. And this cow has simone tara. It looks like every other cow. But since it's yoytze min hatame, its mother was a camel, so you're not allowed to eat this cow. So we have over here these stem cells. They reproduced. They were fed nutrients, reproduced. So now the meat which has grown has come out from through stem cells which were treif. L'chayr, we have a problem of yoytze min hatomei. So l'chayr, that should present a problem. But we might be able to get around this.
It's third along. It's not direct. Stem cells come from the tray, and you're eating from the stem cells.
The stem cells themselves are a part of the animal. The stem cells are a piece of the animal. And they produce something, so they... So
it's the next step
along. It's Yotem and Atame. It's Yotem and Atame.
Wherever far you go,
it's Yotem. It's not two stages, one stage. You took a piece of the behemoth Tamei, and it produced something. That's Yotem and Atame. This piece of meat was Tamei. It's Yotem and Atame. But we might have an answer for this, which just touches on what you are saying. What's your name? Reuben?
Reuben Smith.
Reuben Smith. Right. So we might have something which touches on what you're saying. There's a... In Parsha Shmini, when it lists the animals, the behemoths at the name, it mentions Chazir. One of them is Chazir. Chazal tells why Lamini Krishma Chazir. Kashbaruch is going to bring back the chazir. Chazir one day will be kosher. The question is, what does this mean?
What? I mean, the Torah is not going to be changed.
There's a truth in the Radvaz. Radvaz says, like you're saying, he says, Chas v'sholem. Chas v'sholem, the chazir become mutter again, can't be. What Chazal mean is that we're going to have so much mashmanim in those days, lost in love, we'll have so much mashmanim, it's ke'ilu chazir became mutter. We can understand that nowadays. Nowadays you can get whatever you want, any flavor, any taste. Nowadays you get taste as well. Everything. So that's what the Radvaz says. But the Chassam Sofer, the Arachaim, the Ramami Panu, they all say no, it's kipshute. Chazal say the chazir will become mutter, chazir will become mutter. Aye, a chazir is treif. So they say he's going to get simoni tara. Oh, so the problem is, even if he gets simoni tara, but it's yoytim and atame. How could the chazir become mutter if his mother didn't have simoni? It's yoytim and atame. What does it help me that it has simoni? So there's a safe chavatzelah shalom from Mordechai Kalbach, and he wants to say the next generation. Like Reuben wanted to say, the next generation, this halach of Yotze and Atame is only for the thing itself. The thing itself is Isra of Yotze, but it's not the Isra itself, and this Yotze doesn't carry on to the next generation.
Maybe be a new berry you call Chazer, from there it's
not. But it's Yotze and Atame.
No, but it's a new one. She has come from a new thing called Chazer, but it won't be from a Chazer. It won't be from a Tome, it'll be a new thing.
No, but the Torah says the Chazer will become Mutter. This Chazer, which was also, will become Mutter. Right, that's what can be Ruberia. Right. But if you say it like this, then it will get Simoni Tara, and so the grandchild will become Mutter. But Lamaisa, this is not so simple. Reb Chaim Brisker, he talks about Yotze Min HaTomei, and he says there are two types of Yotze Min HaTomei. There's Yotze Min HaTomei, let's say, like Cholov, and Yotze Min HaTomei, like a Tamei Shiola Kamin Tahira. He says that something like Cholov, that is also because Yotze Min HaTomei. But it's not also b'fnei atzmai. There's no malchus on it, he's bedayek for the Rambam, no malchus on that. But a Tamei Shiola Kamin Tahira, it's a Yotze Min HaTomei, and it gets an Issa b'fnei atzmai. And there will be malchus reading it itself becomes Osir. He doesn't explain why. I can suggest two reasons. First of all, the malchus on Behemet Tmeya is Mipsorum Loi Techelu, so it has to be Basa. So you drink milk of a Behemet Tmeya, you can't be Gamalchus of Mipsorum Loi Techelu, it's not Basa. But you have a Tmeya Shiola Kamitza Hira, you're eating Basa. Another reason could be that there's a special lav for a Tmeya Shiola Kamitza Hira. There's a pasuk which says, Ezer Loi Toichlu Mimafrise Aparasa Umali Ageira. And from there, the Gemara Darshans, that Tamei Shiol, the Kamin Tahira, is also. So there's a special lav. So it could be there's a lav for Tamei Shiol, the Kamin Tahira. So there's Malkus over there. Masha'en came by milk, for Behemet Tamei, there is no lav. But I don't think that's what Reb Chaim means. Because Reb Chaim says that it gets an Isra b'fnei atzmai, the same Isra as the mother. The mother wasn't that posik. Akoponim, with this vote of two generations, L'chayr Reb Chaim's Damascus, it wouldn't agree to it. This answer why the Chazar should become Mutter. But L'inyaneinu, it does help us. L'inyaneinu, something which is not Basar, it could be it doesn't carry on the next generation. Meat which is grown in a laboratory, you can't call Basar of a Chazir. It was created for basa from a chazir. But what grew in the lab, that's not basa of a chazir. So Kobi will not carry on to the next generation. Sorry?
I mean, who says it's basa? I mean, it's...
Right. It looks like basa, it smells like basa, it tastes like basa, but it's not basa of a chazir. It's not basa of a chazir. Right. So therefore, it won't carry on to the next generation. Normally, let's say.
I mean, if you're going to the this is how you're going. All this Tiral stuff is boss. I mean, it's not boss of a cholam
No. Tiral has no connection to boss. But here it was produced by boss. So it's yoytzim and atomi. But even though it's yoytzim and atomi, but it's not boss. So since it's not bosser, so it could be well not carry on to the next generation. So yeah, so make two generations. Now we have another shail of gedulim. We have a sugya nedarim of gedulim. The Gemara talks like this: you have an onion of shmita, it grew in shmita, and then it continued growing into the eighth year, and it grew more in the eighth year than it grew in the seventh year. So you have roiv from the eighth year. Do the gedulim heter, are they the mevatel the iser, or no? Do we say the whole thing becomes aser? What's the halacha over there? So the Gemara's maskana is that by most isurim, by isuri achila, gedulim are mutter, and the mevatel the iker. Except for truma is a special halacha. You need gedulim. You need two gener. You need gedulim of those gedulim. But because truma has a special gzeira, because you might plant it rather than give it to the kohen, it's a special gzeira over there. So as far as gedulim goes, we seem to be clear. Now we have a third shaila, and that's a shaila of maimit, dovra maimit. The classic example of dovra maimit is cheese. How do we make cheese? You take, at least the traditional way of making cheese, you take the lining of a stomach of a cow, the kava, it's called rennet, and you put it into a vat of milk, and the enzymes somehow cause the milk to curdle. It doesn't give tam. There's no tam of this kava in the chalav, but it has some sort of chemical effect on it, and it causes the milk to curdle, it becomes cheese. So the halacha is like this. L'choy, we should have a problem of basa b'chalav. The kava is fleshy. But basa b'chalav is only when you're having tam. When you have tam of the basa and the chalav, when the transformation of tam, that's when you have an iser. Tam is not going across over here, so there is no problem. Therefore, it is mutter to make cheese with a regular keva. But let's say the keva is treif from a nevela, so there already was iser over here. You already had iser, so you have a problem, and the cheese would be aser. And that's why cheese has to be kosher, even if someone's mekel with chalav akum for some reason, but that will not help you for cheese. Because cheese needs a special hechsher, you have to make sure that it was made with the rennet was kosher.
Yeah, how's happened with vegetables?
Nowadays they make synthetic. They make different ways. But lamaisa, we see that loch of maimit. Something is a catalyst. It causes something to happen. It makes it also. So lachayr over here, we have the stem cells which we're taking under the treif. They are causing. They're a catalyst. At least they're not less than a catalyst for creating the new meat, so they should be considered no less than a maimed. So just like a maimed, which is treif, is also, so over here you have the maimed of this new meat is treif. So how could that be mutter? But we might have an eitzah for this as well. You have nowadays some speciality cheeses, and they're treif for cheeses. But you have kosher companies who are interested in selling these cheeses with these special cheeses. There is a Beis Yosef in the end of Siman Kuf Tes Vav. He brings for Rabbeinu Yeruchim, who says like this: if you have cheese which was made from a treifa, you have treifa maimed, treifa rennet, you make cheese from it. If you take from this cheese, take some of this cheese out and put that into a new vat of milk, and that enzymes therefore cause that to become cheese, and you do it a third time, you take from that cheese and put it into a third one, it's already so far removed from the original maimed ha'asa, it's mutter. I have heard that the Ar HaKsherim which do that. I don't know how that works. It could be if it's done already, I'm not sure how it works. I did speak to Hechsher, which they told me they do it with chalavakum. With cheese, the needin was chalavakum, they'll do it with it. But again, I don't know how you get in batlis lechatchila. Maybe if it was done already. Perhaps if it was done already. Because it could be they don't always use the same rennet. It could be they have the cheese for 50 years already, and they're just taking samples from that cheese. It could be it has been done already. So if we say that, so same thing about our meat over here, if we make a few generations of it, okay, we have a problem in batlis lechatchila, but if it was done a few times already, so chayra, we could be okay. There's still another issue. Well, even that's always a problem. So we're discussing. If the cells, we start, that's what we're talking about. If it's treif, it's all the same thing. If the cells, the child was born, the cells also. So if we say the cells are not royal achila, so even if they have melachai, they're not royal achila, they're not included in the yisa. If we say they're microscopic, again, they're not included in the yisa. That will take care of the problem of melachai. And if there is a problem. Sorry?
If it's able melachai, so it's worse, it's not for the boys.
Boss Melchai is also for them as well? If it's taken from Boss, maybe. I'm not sure Boss Melchai applies to them. And if it is a problem, so we discuss this theorem of either doing a few, and I tell me why that's not a problem, there will be a bittle. Okay. But there's another issue, and that is like this. Keeping animal cells alive in a dish is tricky. The magic ingredient has been fetal bovine serum, which is derived from the blood of unborn calves. It is rich in the proteins and nutrients that animal cells need. So this introduces two new problems. Number one, if it's soaked in the blood for 24 hours, we have a problem with kavush kemevushel. Derech agav, soaking something in blood is worse than cooking something in blood. Kedam shebishloi is the rabbanon. So if you cook something in blood, you only deal with this, the rabbanon. But if you kavush something in blood, you're dealing with the deraisa kenzayin, if kavush is deraisa. But the blood remains with the deraisa. So what are you going to do about this problem, kavush kemevushel? So for that, there's a simple problem, a simple etzah. Once every 24 hours, you take them out, put them back in. Kavush has to be sitting there for a full 24 hours with no breaks. If you make a break, the whole thing, the clock cancels, you zero the clock, you go back to zero. Number two, using the blood creates a new problem of maimed. It's now maimed the cells. So up until now, we talked about maimed, we had an etzah, make two generations of it. But now, if it constantly has to soak in the blood, we don't have that etzah. So what's going to happen now? We have a problem of maimed. But this is not necessarily a problem, because we have a halacha of zeh v'zeh goyrim. If you have two mamidim, so if the mamid also could not do it by itself, so it becomes mutter. An example is, the Gemara talks about like this. You have a tree, an asherah, a tree of avodah zarah, and it provides shade. Under the tree, in the shade of the tree, you plant some vegetables. These vegetables, they are benefiting from the tree because it's shading them from the sun. The sun would ruin the vegetables. So they're benefiting from the trees. On the other hand, they also have the nutrients in the ground which are helping them grow. So it's called zeh v'zeh goyrim. And zeh v'zeh goyrim is mutter, because it could not grow with the tree itself, and needed the nutrients from the ground, and therefore it's called zeh v'zeh goyrim. Zeh v'zeh goyrim is mutter. So over here as well, we have the dam, it's soaking in the blood, but it's also the nutrients it's feeding off. So it's zeh v'zeh goyrim. But this is not so simple, because there's a machlokes, if zeh v'zeh goyrim is talking about two separate goyrim, or it has to be doing the same thing. For instance, there are those that say by yeast. If you have yeast of truma and yeast of chulin, so they're making the dough rise, that's called zeh v'zeh goyrim, where they're both doing the same pa'ula. But if they're doing two separate pa'ulas, there are those that say, let's say by the case of the asherah, which we discussed before, there are those that say that there would be an issa, we would not say zeh v'zeh goyrim is mutter. So over here, the blood is doing one pa'ula, and the nutrients, which is feeding off, doing another pa'ula, it could be the zeh v'zeh goyrim would not help us over here. So, to be mesakim, what we're saying, that the cells themselves, we could be mesapik whether they're mutter, because they're not royal achila, and kenza they're not nirolayim. As far as, even if they are also, it could be their bottle. As far as Yoytim and Atomei, it could be Mutter, we have a second generation. As far as Gedulim, there doesn't seem to be an Issa. As far as Maimid, we said we can make two generations. We have the problem that's soaking in the blood, which we may have a problem of the Maimid over there. We cannot make two generations over there. We may have an Eitz of Zeva Zagarim. Assuming it's Mutter, so we go on to Parzi. We have the Nidan of Maris Ayin. So, as far as Maris Ayin goes, once it becomes well accepted and well known that there is such meat around, L'chayr, there won't be any problem Maris Ayin anymore. It used to be a par of ice cream. White ice cream used to be a problem. Maris Ayin, a coffee creamer. Even till today, some of them will say on them, you have to keep it on the table. But most people aren't makapit on that, because everyone knows it's par of milk. Many things like that. Sausages. You can have a sausage with cheese. The sausage is not fleishig. The milk's not milchig. You have no problem. Everyone knows these things exist. So l'chayr, once it becomes well accepted, so it won't be a problem of Maris Ayin. But as I said at the beginning, this is an overview of the general issues which the Gedolei HaPoskim will have to deal with when this topic turns into an actuality. My guess is that there will be an interest both on the side of the manufacturers and on the side of the Hechsherim to try to work this out in a way that the meat, at least the beef, should be considered kosher. About whether it should be parav, I'm not sure. I hope you have enjoyed your first taste of lab-grown meat.
Very good.
Thank you.